Rushdoony Radio presents An Informed Faith, The Position Papers of R. J. Rushdoony by Rufus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. Chapter 25, World Salvation versus World Domination. Chalcedon Position Paper Number 99, July 1988. An error common to many intelligent men is to assume that what they regard as outmoded is therefore obsolete and irrelevant to all other men. Liberals and humanists generally are very prone to this. Thus, they regard nationalism as a relic of past years. But, for better or worse, it is very much with us. All over the world, as in France amongst the Bretons, in Spain with the Basque, and elsewhere, nationalism is a powerful force. Both Wilson and Lenin assumed in World War I that internationalism was mankind's future, and their thinking has only created chaos and warfare. Again, people who have forsaken Christianity assume that, because God is dead for them, he is really dead, and that all men will soon attain their own humanistic, quote, wisdom, end quote. Such illusions lead to major conflicts in history. One of the most powerful and least known of radical nationalistic movements of the past century has been Pan-Turanism, or Pan-Turkism. It began in what is now the Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan in the late years of the 19th century, among the Azeri Turks of that country. It was intensely anti-Armenian, and also anti-Islamic. It dreamed of a pan-Turan empire from Turkey to the borders of China. The Turkic people in 1920 numbered 40 to 50 million. They may be twice that number now. No small power. Early in the 20th century, the Azeris moved against the Armenians. They attacked them for their Christian faith, and significantly, for, quote, the oppression of the Turkish proletariat by the Armenian capitalists, end quote. Very early, the Pan-Turanians allied themselves to Lenin and the Bolsheviks, and their power enabled Lenin to triumph. Lenin then liquidated the Pan-Turanist leaders, but about 15 Soviet republics were created to be small Turkeys, and two provinces of Armenia, Karabakh and Zangur, 90% Armenian in population, were given to Azerbaijan. This helped to keep the Pan-Turanists in line. Since that time, two major forces have developed as a threat to the Soviet Empire. Pan-Turanism is alive and strong, especially in the area of its birth, Azerbaijan, and hence the murders of Armenians and the renewed pressure. For Moscow, this is a major threat. It dare not attack so numerous a people, but to tolerate attacks on the Armenians is to invite attacks next against Russians. The other major force is Pan-Islamism among the more conservative elements in Soviet Russia. The Pan-Turanists, like many Turks in Turkey, have dropped Muslim names for ancient Turkish names. The Pan-Turans detest Arabs, Iranians, and Islam generally. The Pan-Turanists agree with much in Marxism, especially the worst in Soviet tyranny. Tsarevand in United and Independent Turania, 1926-1971, pointed out, quote, the Turk, a pragmatic type, thinks not in terms of world salvation, but world domination, end quote, page 48. This attitude leads to a contempt for Christianity and an affinity to Marxism. Tsarevand noted, quote, the Turks do not fear God, but that is because they like to play, quote, God of fear, end quote, themselves. One of their favourite boasts is, quote, Biz Dunyani Yildir Mishis, end quote. We have terrorised the world, end quote, page 62. All the same, Pan-Turanism is essentially an anti-Russian movement. most of the Turanian peoples are under the Soviet regime. They are waiting for the day when they can kill the Russians, the Armenians, and all non-Turkish peoples and establish the Turanian state. At the same time, the fact remains that, although most Turks in Turkey and Asia are Muslims, their leadership was rejected by Islam. The Ottoman sultans had made themselves the Caliphate of Islam, but this was rejected by many groups, that is, the Moroccans, the Afghans, the Arabs, the Sayyids, the Wahhabis, the Dursis, and others. This has not been forgotten. Moreover, the Turks have never believed in equality before the law. No non-Turkish group could have the same status as a Turk. Pan-Turanism, whose symbols are the horse-tailed standard and the she-wolf, claims the, quote, right, end quote, to possess all lands wherever Turks or Turanians have set foot at any time. This means the Middle East, much of Europe, Siberia, and more. All this is important to any understanding of what is happening in 1988 in Azerbaijan. Without understanding the Turanian nationalism and its hostility, especially to Christianity, there can be no comprehension of the problem in the province of Karabakh. To assume that this is a local conflict limited to two peoples within a single area is to miss its significance entirely. The problem is radically racial and religious, centuries old, and it threatens not merely the life of the Soviet Union, but many other peoples. It is not a problem which will be resolved by a series of conferences within the Soviet Empire, by the use of troops, or by the presence of more KGB agents. Men cannot solve racial problems if they deny that racism exists. Outlawing racism simply drives the problem underground. Men cannot solve religious conflicts when they fail to recognize the centrality of faith and its governing force. Even more, men cannot resolve any problem when they refuse to see man as a fallen creature whose actions are governed by his depravity, not by his professed ideals. Remember, the Turkish contempt for, quote, world salvation, end quote, is because they believe in, quote, world domination, end quote, in terrorizing the world. However, the world cannot confront this evil faith because it shares it. Lenin shared it with the leaders of Pan-Turanism, and the Soviet Union continues to apply it. In the liberal West, world domination is also the goal, despite the facade of democracy and massive foreign aid. The purpose of these liberal strategies is still a world order dominated and controlled by humanism. Is it any wonder that the West cannot confront or deal with either Pan-Turanism or Marxism? Is it any wonder that minority and majority groups all over the world are ruthlessly victimized by the champions of world domination? It is significant that godly man in Genesis 1:26-28 is called to exercise dominion, not domination, over the earth, not other men, to develop all things in terms of God's law word and to make this earth into God's realm and domain. Fallen man does not seek dominion, which begins with his salvation and his ability to rule himself, but, rather, the goal of fallen man is domination, to control other people. In Ephesians 5:21-33, a husband's godly dominion over his wife is compared to Christ's ministry and the sacrifice of his life to redeem the church. It is declared to be love, quote, "He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church," end quote. This is not domination. Yet all too many husbands who call themselves Christian still insist on replacing dominion with domination. It should not surprise us, therefore, that Christians cannot cope with an evil world given to terror and to domination. Neither should it surprise us that too often the most successful clergymen are those who exercise not dominion, but domination, because this is what the world respects. The ways of the Turco-Tatar world are all too close to the ways of all nations, men and groups. World domination is the goal. Pan-Turanism glorifies Genghis Khan and his conquests. Its ideal is that of their great Khan to bring, quote, the entire world under Mongol-Tatar domination, end quote, Zaravand, page 28. People with more sophisticated versions of the same dream will not be able to counteract such movements. If, on top of that, they believe in the goodness of man, themselves especially, they will see every step towards world domination as a step towards world liberation. This was the view of the French Minister of Public Instruction, Jules Ferry, 1879 to 1881, in a speech on July the 10th, 1870. Ferry said that humanity would be truly emancipated, quote, when humanity appears to us no longer as a fallen race, stricken with original sin, but as an endless procession striding on towards the light, then we feel ourselves part of the great being which cannot perish, humanity continually redeemed, developing, improving. Then we have won our liberty, for we are free from the fear of death, end quote. John McManus, Church and State in France, 1870 to 1914, 1972, page 49. Whether we call it Pan-Turanism, Marxism, humanism, or any other name, such beliefs in world domination really mean world death. They shall not prevail. The ruler of all nations is the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.